Oh, Ron. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's always like this, isn't it, Connie? We're all ready to go, and then we forget to hit the right button.
It's really there.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and hit the intro.
Well, I've got 2 minutes.
No, it started. We're on the air.
Rachel Love is a ghost whisperer and a medium and has a powerful gift.
It will.
She has connections between this world and the unseen world. Rachel Love has been helping many with loved ones who have passed on and those left behind. She brings comfort to the departed and their loved ones as they get a chance to bring closure to their grief. Rachel welcomes your calls. She wants to connect you. Call now at 815-880-8255. Now sit back and relax and enjoy another hour of The Ghost Whisperer with Rachel Love.
And my co-host, Connie Hansen. Connie Hansen has a website, the 3 W's, ConnieHansen.co. You can catch her there and send her a message and tell her she probably should find something better to run around with than Rachel. But that's it.
And it's the Danish spelling, not the English.
Yes, H-A-N-S-E-N, ConnieHansen.co. Sen. Hey, what an interesting day. I've had an interesting week. How has your week been today, Connie, this week?
It's been pretty darn good.
Yeah, really?
I've had some interesting things that I've come across that I haven't fully explored them, but they've certainly had me thinking about some other things. Basically the metaphysical concepts, and it stirred me to do a new type of meditation that I'm experimenting with for healing. But the jury's out on that yet, so it kind of ties in with, you know, extraterrestrials and earth healing and stuff like that.
I heard you mention that at the Sacred Hoop the other day, so I was kind of going to ask you about that, how that's going. How is it going? Is it going well so far?
Well, if you take an open mind with it, you know, whenever I do a meditation that's more of a, you know, I need this to happen type of thing,
mm-hmm.
I rely on synchronicities to happen, and I follow those. So in that case, absolutely. I ran across a healer that was able to work with me a little bit more on a different aspect, and I've had a number of issues that have just kind of dogpiled over the years, and they're energetic. You know, doctors mm-hmm. don't find anything wrong with me, nor should they, because, you know, I live a very healthy lifestyle. Definitely, I get my sleep. But this last one was able to remove another aspect that had been very difficult for me. And, you know, you just need to sometimes talk with other people or let other people work with you, even though you can do that yourself, because you can be blindsided by things.
Oh, you can, yeah. Well, we're supposed to be in community. We're in relationship with each other to help encourage and strengthen and remind us sometimes. I had a guest on another show, and something came up, an opportunity came up, and she was lamenting about how terrible it was, and her friend basically gave her a spiritual slap, said, hey, this is exactly what you need. This is exactly what you need. You need to jump for this. And I think we need friends occasionally to say, hey, you know, because we do get blinded and lost sometimes. And even though we're really quite capable of handling things, I think it's important that we're all in this together. Speaking together, our guest is not with us today.
Huh. Oh, I wonder if he is on mountain time.
Well, it's confusing. I think he's in Utah. I mean, I get a lot of emails, and we've gone back and forth over the time zone. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't call in on the next show, in the Alien Chronicles show, which I'm not sure how the Mormon view on ghosts and spirits works with the Alien Chronicles show. So it's probably going to be kind of an interesting next hour at the way we're going. In fact, next hour, we're kind of on a spiritual journey this whole day, because the next hour on Alien Chronicles Radio Network, we have Dr. Joyce Jeffries and her book on Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, and 666, and Prophecy and Theology, and the Clone Image of Jesus Christ. If that isn't going to be an interesting show, I don't know what would be.
Well, there are a lot of people that have had various opinions on, you know, the kind of the background story to all that. So it'll be, I'm anxious to hear what she has to say about her perspective and her studies. I've heard of a couple of different ways of looking at that, and I'm not 100% sure we're not dealing with something that's more archetypical rather than actual, you know, because we learn by stories. We learn by things that are presented to us in a way that we can relate to. And that's where archetypes work in really nicely. So I'm interested to see what she has to say.
Well, that'd be the next hour. She's a member, consultant in education with MUFON, which is, apparently I looked it up, there's a website, and it's a Mutual UFO Network. Now it looks like our guest might call, and let's see if this is him. Good afternoon. Can you hear
Hello?
Us? Hi.
Yes.
This is Radio Love and my co-host Connie Hansen, and I'm just hoping that you are our guest, Daniel Johnson.
Well, I am Daniel Johnson.
Very good. Good.
We were
okay.
Thinking we were going to have to wing it the next hour.
Yeah, we were a little concerned about the time frame, and I don't know if our clocks are going quicker here on the Canadian side or not, because Connie is saying, you know, it's only 3. I said, no, it's 5 after. So we were discussing that before we started the show. So welcome. Thank you for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I know we've been going back and forth with emails a while and moving things about and trying to get you on. But I thought that your interest in things you're doing in Mesoamerica, is that what we call it, Mesoamerica?
Mesoamerica, yes.
Yes, and your studies down that way and you're exploring stuff, I thought that'd be fascinating. Also, here tell by looking at one of your websites that you're doing a tour recently, a cruise or something. Has that happened already?
It hasn't happened. It's scheduled to happen this September, and I guess that is contingent upon enough people going on the cruise, but it's put together by a tour group in Utah, and so oftentimes there are LDS or Mormon tour groups that like to do things, go and travel to Egypt or to Israel, the Holy Land, places like that. And a great interest is to go to places in Mexico and Guatemala and Mesoamerican areas. So that's something that's been scheduled, and they've asked me to headline the cruise, meaning I would give presentations and discussions while we're at sea and then accompany the guests on land whenever we go visit various places.
Well, that does sound fun. Let me go ahead and give the intro. Connie, you don't mind if we take a moment to give the formal introduction, do you?
Oh, sure.
Okay, this is Daniel Johnson. He's had a lifelong interest in ancient cultures, especially from the Americas. His first trip to Mesoamerica was in 1999. Since then, he has led friends and on excursions to Central America and has given firesides about traveling there. He served a mission in the Buenos Aires North and I cannot pronounce Mendoza, Argentina missions. He also works as a digital artist and teaches at Bay Area colleges. He has written a book, I'm pretty sure, but I do know he's done a lot of interviews and stuff with other radios, internet radio podcasts, on kind of the ghosts and the spirit sides and stuff of the Mormon belief. So with both kind of a, what is that? I'm sure, Connie, you know, because you pay attention to this kind of stuff. There was a movie a while back where they had a guy with a special hat on his head, and he traveled about, and he had a whip and stuff. And this, our guest, Daniel Johnson, looks a little bit like him. That's Indiana Jones, I think, with his hat and stuff. You can go to his website and you can check him out. What's a good website for you?
The hat's not that special.
Oh, it looks good. I got your picture here on a stuff. I thought you were quite handsome. I said, he's real dashing. I think he'll be fun. Shame we weren't on video. Everybody would be missing out on that. But let us say that he's quite handsome in his hat. And he does kind of have that Indiana Jones look. So welcome again to the show, and I think a cruise down to Central America and below would be kind of fascinating with somebody of your history and knowledge of the area. But what is the fascination? I got to ask, what is the fascination with Central America and Northern South America and the Mormons. What's going on with that connection?
Okay, that's a great question. And it really all goes back to probably the reason we're called Mormons. We actually refer to ourselves mostly as Latter-day Saints, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But we have a book that's called the Book of Mormon. And so most people probably heard of that. And you mentioned that I was a missionary. So if you've ever seen the Mormon missionaries, guys in with white shirts and ties, a little name tag, I did that years ago in Argentina. So it really has to do with the Book of Mormon. Now, we are Christians, and we do use and believe in the Bible. But we, unlike other Christians, have what we consider to be additional scriptural works. And one of those is the Book of Mormon. So the Book of Mormon is connected with Joseph Smith. Most people probably heard of Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon. But our belief is that he translated, not wrote, translated the Book of Mormon from a set of ancient gold records. And the records tell of a people who came, led by a prophet, from Jerusalem anciently and came to a promised land, which it turns out looks like it was in the American continent. So the Book of Mormon gives a history of these people, and it's kind of been of interest to Mormons for a long time to try and figure out where events mentioned in the Book of Mormon might have taken place. So the current Mormon scholarship would place that in a fairly small, restricted area, and has kind of pinpointed Mesoamerica, so southern Mexico, Guatemala, a bit of Honduras, that area right in there, as the most likely place for the setting of the Book of Mormon. So that's kind of the current thought, and there are LDS archaeologists and scholars who travel down there and look for stuff and research, and have written a lot about that. I've written two books kind of on that topic, and so it's a fairly popular thing for Mormons to take cruises or tours or excursions to these lands to visit them and see what they're like, and perhaps try and correlate them with Book of Mormon events. And in my case, I think these are just beautiful place to visit. I love the culture. I love the people. I love going down there. So that's kind of our interest.
I've been to El Salvador and some missionary work a long time ago. Not the same a church as the LDS, but a different mm-hmm. one. And I've been involved with LDS a little bit. So I was under an impression, and forgive me for being the devil's advocate here, but I thought Joseph Smith found the tablet originally in like upstate New York or something.
You know, that's actually true. That's very true. So he went to a hill where he was told by an angelic messenger that there would be a record that was buried and kept there. And so he was living in upstate New York at the time, and that's where the record was buried. So our belief is that the person who buried that record anciently was the last prophet who wrote in the Book of Mormon. And so after he wrote the end of their history and basically chronicled the destruction of their people, he traveled trying to escape death himself and to keep the record safe. And then he eventually made his way up to that spot and buried it.
So he came from down south on his journeys up towards the north to escape the troubles down south, and then left the tablets in upstate New York.
That's correct. Now, there has been, the Book of Mormon never really says where these events took place, and so there has been some discussion, some confusion over the years. There has also been the thought, especially a while ago, that perhaps the Book of Mormon events did take place up there. But the more we know more about archaeology and the more we kind of see things, the area of Mesoamerica seems like a much better fit. Because the types of things and the societies and the cities and the wars, things going on that are mentioned in the Book of Mormon don't seem to have anything to do with the ancient history of North America. But there's a lot similar to that in the ancient history of Mesoamerica.
Okay.
Well,
Connie, are you? Yes, go ahead. You're already there.
There's some people. Well, there's a Scott Walter that has done some videos on History Channel about his looking at these unusual structures through the U.S., and there was a time that he was talking about how it looked like the Aztecs or something like that had been up in, like, the Georgia and up all the way up to maybe Ohio. There had been this influence from the Mesoamerica that had made it up into the continental U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see that, you know, these are connected people. They may not have been in everyday life, but you're not the only one that's kind of made this association that these people came up and did things. I grew up in New Mexico, and we know that the Aztec came up and dealt with the people in Chaco. So, you know, just traveling a little bit further one way or the other could have easily have been done. They knew it was up here.
Oh yes. And in fact, there is a site in Mexico which is very well known, visited by a lot of people. It's in the Yucatan Peninsula called Chichen Itza. And from that area, based on the stuff that I've researched, they have found turquoise that would have come from New Mexico. So there definitely was commerce between, you know, Central America and Northern America. I think a lot has happened in the ancient history of these lands that we don't know much about yet.
Well, they weren't exactly a writing people, and it didn't help a lot whenever the book burning of all the codices were taken out of circulation, basically, whenever the Spanish conquistadors came through. So there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of history that might have been much better documented than what we have access to today.
That's very true. The book burning was done primarily by a man named Diego de Landa, who was bishop in the Yucatan Peninsula. And he instituted that because after conversion to Christianity, he began to see that many of the Maya were kind of reverting to their old beliefs. And so he sort of instituted an inquisition and destroyed all the records he could find. So you're right, because of that, we have four Mayan books or four Mayan codices today. Everything else is gone.
Wow, that is really pretty sad, because it probably
mm-hmm.
would have added more to your story as well as Americans' story.
Yeah, but the thing is that the idea of destroying records is a sad thing, but it seems to happen over and over. We've seen it happen in modern times. We've even seen it happen in the history of Mesoamerica. I visited sites where there's writing that was carved onto monuments there, but invading forces destroyed practically all of it. There were certain times when kings would come to power, would destroy all the monuments of the previous king and basically erect their own story. And the Book of Mormon itself basically talks about two main groups of people that was continually trying to destroy the record that would become the Book of Mormon. So these things just keep happening.
Definitely, definitely. New power comes in, they want to rewrite history. And we've
mm-hmm.
talked about before in some of the other shows.
I
so,
yeah,
it's sad. And I do know from my experience with the Mormon church and some of the Sunday school classes I attended years ago, of some of the history of the Mormon church and the persecution and moving around in different places and the whole thing. And there are some, I'm in Tulsa, so there are some Mormon churches here, and there's different varieties of Mormon church now, too. I've stopped a few times the first come to Tulsa with this little group of, I hate to say elderly, but they were definitely, they were a little bit older than I was. God, I really hate to even talk about that subject. I don't know why I went there. But they were just so nice and so friendly, and I have to give you that. I've never so far ran into an LDS member who wasn't friendly, wasn't nice and polite, and I don't always get that from some of the other religions. I'll be honest with you there. Hey, can I ask?
Well, that's good to hear.
Thank you. Could I ask, Daniel
yeah.
Johnson, when you're down there in that area, have you set up any wards or any temples or anything for the LDS Church? Is it considered sacred now or just still investigating?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be anything for me to do myself, but, mm-hmm. I mean, the church is established really in all countries of the world that, you know, will allow freedom of religion, basically. So, I mean, there are many Mormon members in Mexico and in Guatemala. There are, local communities. They have their own, wards and congregations. There are temples. You know, there are temples in Guatemala, in Mexico. So pretty much just like any other place you would be. In fact, there are more Mormons outside the U.S. than there are in the U.S. now.
Really? I will say
mm-hmm.
I've been to the temple in Vegas. Beautiful. I have never seen a building
mm-hmm.
quite so beautiful, so perfect. You couldn't even find a crumb on the ground. It was, and the workmanship, amazing. I will say all the years I've been involved in spirituality and religion, that temples that the LDS builds are just magnificent. And the people, again, are friendly. So, hey, let's talk about, let me throw a commercial in, then I'll talk about dead things.
Oh, that's okay.
Kind of a weird break and things, doesn't it? You go from that mm-hmm. to the other thing. Okay, got it. I thought that might be funny, but it's not really going across very funny. So as soon as I find the right commercial, we'll go ahead and do that. Okay, here's a commercial.
Learn to change your perceptions and your life by the woman who understands better than most about transitions, me, Rachel Love. Join me and my co-host, award-winning author for Best Romance, Diana Bellerose, author of the novel Fire and Ice, every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern here at A2Zen.fm.
You're listening to A2Zen FM, life-altering talk radio. Anything from activism to Zen and everything in between, right here and now. Informative, inspiring, engaging. Our hosts provide you with the global news and educated advice you need to make a difference in your life, in your world. Knowledge is power. A2Zen.fm.
Tune into Ravenhawk Talk Radio, where each Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, we bring you news on the Indigenous Front. The people have awakened as our ancestors predicted. We have moved into a new world. We Indigenous people have come forth from all areas around the planet in support of our Mother Earth, this Turtle Island. Each week we will be talking to those who are truly committed to healing this planet. Listen to what we have to share with the world. That's Ravenhawk Talk Radio, Fridays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We welcome you as allies to come together on our journey. We are one voice, one fire.
Welcome back to the Ghost Whisperer Show. We have my co-host, Connie Hansen. You can find her at the three W's, Connie Hansen, HANSEN.CO. And, of course, this show is Ghost Whisperer CO. We have as our guest, very excited to have our special guest, Daniel Johnson. He's sharing the Mormon view on ghosts and afterlife, and we've just spent the last 15 minutes so talking about the church and why Mesoamerica is so important and some of the background of the church and the Mormon movement, or the Latter-day Saints. And I was really enjoying the conversation and stuff. Connie threw some good questions. I love Connie. She probably knows more about stuff like this than anybody else I know, except probably you, Daniel. She's got ancient religion stuff
too.
Down. So, Daniel, one of the questions I like to ask is what is the view on ghosts and stuff? I mean, this is a Ghost Whisperer show. So is there a view or belief system in ghosts that maybe we can visit a little bit about on the show?
Oh, certainly. And this is something that I know there's a great interest of that. It seems like in the past few years there's been a resurgence of interest in, you know, things of the spirit nature and of the afterlife, and I can certainly see why. As far as ghosts, for me personally, I don't like to use the term ghost because I think it has far too many negative connotations with it. So I like, and we tend to use a more of a neutral word, and that is spirit.
Spirit.
So
well, Casper
we have a fairly...
I like Casper the ghost. He's a friendly one.
Casper? He is friendly. I haven't had any experience with him, but...
Spirits.
But we do have a fairly detailed set of doctrines about what happens with death and after death. But I might want to go the other direction first and talk about before our birth. We believe that our spirits are eternal, and that our spirit is not an ephemeral sort of wispy thing, but it really is a spirit body. That for everything that is in the physical world, it is mirrored in spirit as well. And so your physical body is a reflection of your spirit body. So our spirits are ourselves, our consciousness, our experiences, our personality, who we are, and that this is eternal. We are eternal beings. We existed before our birth and as spirits. And, of course, at the process of birth, the spirit enters the body. And death is nothing more than the spirit leaving the body and cannot be destroyed. We actually also believe that matter cannot be created or destroyed, but that it is organized or unorganized. And so at death, the spirit leaves the body and, of course, continues to exist. The same person you are, the sum of your experiences on this mortal life will continue with you. And so the hope, the goal is to grow and progress and develop while we're in this short little span of mortal existence, because that goes with us. So the spirit continues living, and we believe that it will be in a place called the spirit world. And so that's where everyone goes after death, that has lived upon this earth. Good, bad, doesn't matter. We'll all be in the spirit world. Now, our condition in the spirit world will be somewhat dependent upon what we did in life, what our choices were, and what we became. But that in the spirit world, which is kind of a temporary place, we believe, between death and the resurrection, we do believe in a physical resurrection, but that in the spirit world, there is the opportunity to help others who have not perhaps learned what they needed to in mortality, and also the chance to learn and grow ourselves for things that we were not able to do in life.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff you just shared. I didn't know that.
Yes, that's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's just standard Mormon belief right there.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you talked about a spirit body and then our physical body. Are they connected, or do they literally transfer, like you have a higher self always working in tandem with the physical self, like, you know, ego, superego, something like that? Is that a tandem arrangement, or is it literally one space versus another space?
Well, that's getting perhaps a little bit metaphysical for me. But we don't ever talk about things like, you know, the ego or superego or the id or anything else. For us, we think of things as spirit and physical, and that there's the connection is one that the physical mirrors the spirit, and that we also believe, you might find this interesting, that spirit and physical are not that different. We believe that spirit is a kind of matter. Now, we, through science, have identified, of course, solid, liquid, gas, and also plasma as types of matter. Our belief is that spirit is a type of matter, but it's more refined and pure, so we can't quite detect it yet with what we know. But that it actually is a type of matter, and so it is eternal as matter is. So that there is a close connection between the spirit body and the physical body, because they aren't that dissimilar. For many, especially in a traditional Christian sense, there's been this idea of a separation between spirit and matter, and how can this duality, how can they come together? For us, there's not that much difference. And we believe that everything around us, plants, animals, the earth, was created first spiritually and then was created physically after that. And so we believe that the whole idea of spirit is constant. I'm not sure if that answered your question, but I certainly tried to do something there.
Yeah.
I like that. That was pretty cool. One question then for me. If you're already spirit or a spirit body before you came to this physical body, where were you at before this? Is it connected with where you're going to be after this short lifespan of mortality? Are they is it like a journey somewhere from point A to point B, or is it from B back to B?
Well, it's not exactly the same place. We oftentimes refer to our time before birth, or what happened before birth, as our pre-existence or our pre-mortal existence. And what we believe is that all of us who were to be born upon this earth, we are all spirit children of God. And so we are all literally brothers and sisters. So that we lived in the presence of God, and you can almost liken it to a type of childhood. We learned there, we grew there, we progressed, but there comes a time when the child has to leave home and make his own way, and that time comes when we're born. So there was an opportunity in these endless eternities before our mortal existence to experience many things, to develop who we are, and to grow and progress and to be with God, whom we view as literally our Heavenly Father. But the time comes when, you know, that's all you can do, and so you need a mortal existence. Our belief is that the physical body, the incarnation, if you will, is a necessary step in our eternal progress, and that when you die and your spirit's separated from the body, that there's a bit of longing, that you look forward to the time when you'll be reunited with that body. So the physical body we have and the physical experiences we have in this mortality right now are so very important to us.
Yeah, I can see that. What do you think?
That brings another question for me. So whenever you have instances where, let's say, I wake up in the middle of the night and I see either someone I know or I don't know, but they're in a spiritual form, what is going on with that? Is that something that they're longing to connect up back in this part of life? What's going on with that in your belief?
Well, I can't speak to your experiences, but our belief is that the spirit world is right here. And so we don't, you know, between death and what happens next, we don't travel very far. The spirit world is right here. And oftentimes, especially from kind of a traditional Christian point of view, people tend to think of heaven or hell. Well, just from a biblical point of view, that concept really wasn't there. There was an ancient Hebrew term that was used in the Old Testament called Sheol, and in Greek it's called Hades. And that's just the world of spirits. That's where everyone goes. So we believe that's right here, and we refer to it as being beyond the veil, that there is a veil that separates us so that we can't see what is happening in this world of spirit. But we do have a belief that those who have gone before us, especially close loved ones, friends, and relatives, that they can perhaps see us, that they might know what we're doing, that they might be able to assist us or guide us or give us comfort in some way. This seems to be a little bit rare, but our belief is that certainly can happen, that sometimes people do get glimpses into this world of spirit. Sometimes we say the veil is very thin, where we can kind of feel that happening. So that's all I can say, is that kind of thing is possible, and that we certainly may have loved ones unknown of that are watching over us.
I will give credit to some of the... I'm sorry, Connie. But I want to say that I knew some women Mormons, and when I would share some of my crazy stories, they would say that the veil seemed to be thinner for girls, it's more likely as a girl to see the spirit world. That's what they used to say. I think maybe they were just being nice to me, because that Rachel's been a different side. We'll give her some nice words. Another thing they tell me, and I'm going to throw this in, and hopefully it's not offensive, but they always tell me that don't worry if you don't find a husband, because once you're no longer living, there'll be one waiting for you in the other planet. So that's supposed to somehow encourage me. And I've thought about it a long time, and I was thinking, okay, Well, at least he probably has a job or something. So, you know, considering the options, that's not so bad.
Anything wrong or that hasn't happened to mortality can be made right afterwards. So you won't lose out on things forever.
Oh, see? You know, maybe I should convert. No, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I was going to relate about someone hanging around you. Whenever my husband died, he definitely stayed around me. I didn't always see him because I didn't do that often. I dreamed about him frequently, trying to warn me. I've had him speak to me when something happened, and I went and protected myself at that time. But I've had him follow me around. And other people see it, even though I don't. You know, I get to where I don't even sense it. But I'm not quite sure it's been of a lot of help, because it hasn't made anything any easier. So that gives me a feel that, you know, those on the other side really aren't able to do very much other than maybe speak to your mind.
Well, I mean, they can't change what you're going through or what you are, how you're going to react to things or what will happen to you. And the truth is that their main responsibility has ended, and they are, you know, they have some other things to be concerned. But our belief is that no matter what goes on, that there is always a loving God, a loving Father who is watching over us. And, you know, if things aren't quite right.
Let me stop everybody for a minute. I'm sorry, there's something going on with the audio, and everybody sounds like they're talking a different language now. Is it just my hearing? Can you hear the difference, Connie?
No, it sounds fine to me.
You sound bad. So let me, I'll hang up and hang up. I don't really hang up. I'll call back in. You guys keep visiting. And if
okay.
It still sounds that way for me, then I'll have you guys do the same thing with a commercial. So forgive me those listening, but I want to make sure we can hear what's going on, and I'm having some doubts whether it's working. But it could be me. I'll be right back. Keep going, guys.
Okay.
Right.
Well, Daniel, that I've had an interest in how ancestors interface with your day-to-day life. I recognize that there's a point where you are a culmination of everyone that's gone before you. And there's some validity in how you're trained, how you think, what your physical abilities are. What metaphysically or, you know, spiritually happens with your ancestors being around you and maybe watching you and what you're doing in your day-to-day life?
Well, I'm not sure I have a great answer for that, other than our thought is that they are aware of us and that they are concerned about us and that they may be able to perhaps imperceptibly, perhaps very subtly guide us towards things that we might need to do. If we're open to that, if we're open to those little whisperings. Now, some people, you know, close themselves off, especially if there's some kind of traumatic event or some sadness. Some people close off and shut down from the world, while some people seem to open up to these things. So the belief is that, you know, that they are still, you know, caring for us. They still exist. They're still the same people they were in mortality. And that they may be able to give us little nudges, little indications. But again, we believe that these are things that can come from God as well, and that God speaks to us through our spirit. These are things that are very subtle. We call it the whisperings of the spirit. And you need to calm your mind, and you need to kind of meditate on this and just kind of see what might come to you. And our belief is that our Heavenly Father wants everyone to be happy. Oftentimes being happy, it consists in changing what we're doing and doing something else. But that there will be, if we really look for it and try to listen to it, there will be little indications. You know, sometimes we'll call it a conscience or an inner voice that kind of point us towards what we should do. We believe that that's very real, that we aren't left alone here. So that's kind of my best attempt to try and answer what you're saying. You're asking
okay,
some very
well,
specific things there.
Right. Well, I've got a wide band of different modalities to kind of pull from. So kind of keeping with the ghost whisperer concept, I've gone into houses that there have been other people still there. And what
mm-hmm.
do you think metaphysically or in the Mormon faith about things that are haunted? And, you know, sometimes it's not so nice a haunting. Sometimes it's grandma, you know. You never really quite know until you actually get into a building.
Right. Well, as far as hauntings, that's an interesting thing. I do know there are some people that are very skeptical about the idea of hauntings at all and find other ways to explain that. But our belief is that just as there are positive and there are good spirits, there are evil spirits as well. So there are evil spirits who are trying to have us not be happy. They're trying to make us miserable as they are. They're trying to get us to, you know, go off on paths that will not take us to happiness in our lives. So these are influences around us as well. One thought is that that a person who is really a good and righteous person would not actually haunt a house. That and whenever I hear things about people who have near-death experiences where they actually have been declared dead and they saw or experienced something on the other side, the common thing that I hear is that they don't want to come back to mortality, that they have such a great sense of peace and beauty there, and they feel like staying, but they're told, no, you have to come back. And so there's some reason, something left undone. So kind of with that in mind, it makes me wonder if a spirit would want to come back, or would be, or would just, you know, feel that the transition is natural and want to move on and deal with things in that spiritual realm. So as far as hauntings go, I don't know. We don't have a lot of things to say about that. We have more to say about the spirit world and what happens after that. I think there are many things we don't fully understand. I think there may be things that in a certain place there could be traces of something left, energies left, almost echoes or shadows left that might remain, and the impressions might come from that. But that's an area I think where we're still, you know, in some ways in the dark, and in some ways still learning things.
Well, it sounds like the Mormon position is you still have kind of like living prophets. So as questions mm-hmm. come up, revelations are still possible, but these may not be questions that were asked, you know, in the 1900s. But now we have more time. We ask different kinds of questions. With the hauntings or spiritual beings still maybe in flux, like when you're in Mesoamerica and you're going up to a site of some sort, you know, for me, I would get different kinds of feelings going to monuments like that. And maybe the less traveled ones would be a little more open for me to pick up information about. What has been your experience when you're down there, not necessarily when you're doing the tours, but when you're exploring a new area or meditating there or anything like that?
Well, not to be too boring, but I can't say I've had experiences like that, and it could be that I am just not sensitive to things like that. I think it certainly could be that there are people that can pick up more on things of that, on a spiritual nature, on what may have happened, or on, a bit more through the veil, as we would say. So I can't say that I've had experiences like that, as far as, you know, connected with Mesoamerica or anything like that. It's been much more down to earth. So maybe someone who is more sensitive to those things, you know, could pick up impressions that I don't.
I see.
Hey, Connie.
You're back.
Can you hear me okay? Yeah. Thank you. I've been listening on my cell phone, believe it or not, but I could not get the X-Lite phone to work, so I assumed it was me. And when I'm hearing you on the cell phone, you guys are sounding great. There's an app. I should throw that commercial in. There's an app for your iPhone where you can listen to our shows live or call in, by the way. Sorry, I regress to that, but it's working for me. I've been loving the questions and the stuff going on. I want to say, Daniel, the fact that you have a modern-day prophet-like person that's flexible, it seems so much different than some of the other Christian religions that have things written in something called a King James. And it seems like if you change King James, then you've gone to hell or done something terrible. So that to hear a religious organization talking about current things and current prophecies and stuff is certainly a different experience for me.
Yeah, most people might not be used to that. Now, when you say King James, I think you're probably referring to the King James version of the Bible. So that's just a pretty standard version of the Bible. I believe that was finally finished in 1611. So for a lot of people, from kind of a standard Christian point of view, the Bible is the final word, and that's it. And they don't accept the idea of other scripture, like the Book of Mormon, or of continuing prophets. But for us, Joseph Smith was a prophet, like prophets you would read about in the Bible, you know, Isaiah or Noah or Malachi or Ezekiel. And that after his death, there was another prophet. That one was Brigham Young. And he, of course, led the Mormons across the plains and ended up settling in what became Utah. There was a reason that, you know, the Mormons started in New York and ended up in Utah. And if you know anything about our history, it's because we couldn't find any safe haven. And so there was even the state of Missouri where the governor issued what was called the extermination order that said that Mormons were to be considered enemies of the state, and if they were not removed, they would be exterminated. So that's why Mormons end up in Utah, because no one else wanted to live there. But we do believe in prophets, and the current leader of our church we refer to as a prophet as a presiding apostle, and we have a group or a quorum of 12 apostles. And so we do believe that God can still continue to give us the messages that we need, because the issues and the things that come up are, you know, from year to year are different. There are many things that I'd like to know that have not been revealed yet, and some of them have been asked on this very show. So I'm curious about all that, and I just have the faith that someday we'll have all these answers, but perhaps it's not the time for us to know everything right now.
Well, sometimes it's just good to have things that you can't answer, but they're good to discuss.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
I do enjoy that. So many folks' religious beliefs that I run into, first thing that come out is, oh, it's demonic, it's the devil, it's bad, and, you know, you're bad because you're talking about it. You've seen me talk about stuff like that. But I sure do enjoy the fact that we have an open forum and can discuss different ideas with, and not throw out the devil card first thing. I mean, I appreciate
right.
it. Thank you. Thank you. I should throw a commercial on, but I don't want to, so I'm not going to. I will just say thank you for listening to AToZen.fm and the Ghost Whisperer Show. And if you listen to us on our podcast, the AToZen FM podcast, thank you. If you listen to us on Stitcher, thank you. If you listen to us on iTunes or even off our websites, both ConnieHanson.co and GhostWhisperer.co, now have an RSS feed of the show. So thank you for listening to it there. Thank you, Daniel, for being our guest. I really enjoyed it so much. Do you have a better website than the LDSguide.blogspot.com to contact you?
Do I have a better one? Well, that's actually it as far as for these types of things. So you did mention it, LDSguide.blogspot.com. And it has that name because of the names of my books. One is an LDS Guide to Mesoamerica, and one is an LDS Guide to the Yucatan. And it's mainly written for people from a Mormon point of view that are interested in these sites, but there's a lot there, I think, for anyone that's interested in these sites that would like. We have a lot of photos of them. I give a lot of history and a lot of our travel experiences from going there and how to get around and what to expect. And so I was trying to really write it with a lot of audiences in mind. And you also might get an idea of what the Mormon perspective is on these sites and why it's important to us. But people can go to that site, they can download papers that I've written on various topics connected with this, and they can even email me and contact me through there. So I'm happy to communicate with anyone.
Okay, so it's called the LDSguide.blogspot.com because of your books you've written, and the blogspot allows you to add to it and keep it current. I do see a cartoon on Happy New Year, January, and they got the Mayan calendar there. It says, turns out it actually predicts the end of Twinkies. That is.
Yes.
It. Thank you for that. Or don't you?
Yeah, so I try and put some fun stuff up there, and then oftentimes I'll put up there our people's information about the books or where to get them, and I put up papers people can download as PDFs that I've written on things like gold plates, ancient metals, names in Mayan glyphs, ancient horses in Mesoamerica, and so you can kind of get a sense of dealing with a number of topics that have come up about this.
I'm very impressed with you and your church that has somebody like you that I assume you're representing church. I don't even know. I probably should ask you. But I've never had any other religious group email me to be on the Ghost Whisperer Show unless it's something that they're starting out with. They're going to, I'm evil, they're going to convert me or something of that nature, or how terrible the world's being. But here's an organization that's involved in conversation and right after visiting with us. So I have to applaud you for that. That's amazing. Thank you for that. I would have gone really seriously, because you don't realize how many emails I get from religious organizations that are telling me how terrible I am or the whole conversation is. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and I don't really see the point in judging anyone else. These are fascinating questions. They're questions that concern all of us deep down, so I think they're great to talk about. And I'm just myself. I'm just an average guy. I don't represent the church in any way. I'm just me. But I hope that this would be representative of how we like to discuss things and how we like to share these things. And, you know, these are interesting topics. So one thing I've seen is that so many things I hear about, and I love the things that are called paranormal. I've grown up on this type of stuff. I listen to Art Bell. I watch all these shows. I was just always wondered these many things. I listen to these shows, whether it's TV or whether it's radio shows, and people talk about it. It seems to me that a lot of the stuff that they talk about are things that our doctrine addresses. And I just thought to myself, well, but it was like a year or so ago, I thought, hey, maybe people would be interested in hearing our take on this, just to kind of add to the discussion. So the more we can talk together and share ideas, I think that's just a good thing that brings us closer together. So that's my hope.
I think it's working, at least working for myself. How are you feeling about it, Connie?
Well, I think this is really great that you can just sit down and have a conversation, because there are so many different points of view that you can take this. The Buddhist perspective, the Vedic perspective, Native American perspective, some of the pagan perspectives, most of the Christian ones. I think many of them around here kind of have, I'm in Oklahoma right now, they have sort of this charismatic concept. So, you know, some of them walk their talk, some of them don't. You know, they just kind of do what they're told. And I much rather deal with someone who's thinking, listening, and doing their study scholarly and psychically, you know, metaphysically, with whatever you do for connecting up with your higher source. So I think this is just great, being able to converse.
It's refreshing, isn't it?
It's something I've always loved doing. And we believe there's truth everywhere. You know, that you can't ignore or shut out any particular group or point of view, that there's truth all over. And you seek out truth and goodness wherever it may be.
Absolutely.
Yes, I love it. I know that Mormons, LDS, had a hard time in Missouri, here, which is where we're close to Missouri, in Tulsa. And some of the hard feelings and stuff, and some different groups and stuff. And I know sometimes the Midwest is, I should say that, but sometimes folks in the Bible Belt get kind of hard-headed about things and won't listen to something else, or won't even, it's somehow bad to converse. So this is really great. I've really had a good time. So I need to ask you, what's up next? What are you doing next besides this potential cruise? What are you doing, Nathaniel?
Oh, good gracious. Really, I'm at the moment trying to look for more opportunities to speak to people, to give presentations and discussions specifically about the places we've gone and the things that we just have discovered there. But so often, just the just all the details of life get in the way. So right now, I'm just trying to figure out how to advance in my career, make a living, take care of my family, and I'm not quite sure what comes up next. I'll just keep trying to get too long, I suppose.
Join the club.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. So there's not another book, any press ready to come out, another ebook or something?
Yeah, the second book, An LDS Guide to the Yucatan, is an ebook. And so all our books are available directly from our publisher. They're also on Amazon.com as a download for Kindle. And the first one, An LDS Guide to Mesoamerica, is also for Kindle. But the full version is nice, the actual hardback. It's a hardbound book. It's full color. I'm a digital artist and a designer, and so I actually did all the interior layout design work of the book. I really wanted to make it something that would be interesting to look at. We have lots of beautiful photos we took of these places, lots of graphics and images that show what we're talking about. And I love these places. I love the people, I love the culture. So I'm just trying to